The reason they should care is that this is the new television. I mean, I just am absolutely convinced this isn't a fad. Now, there will be changes in the landscape. I don't think that it's the case that because MySpace is the winner now that it will always be the winner.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have a gentleman who I adore, whose name is David Hornick. He's the leading VC in social media. He's here, or I'm here with him at August Capital. He's a partner. He's very well known for all of his work with his blog, and he was just telling me about a video blog he does that I'm going to let him talk about in a second. But without any more ado, David, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about venture investing in social media. That's basically who you are, what you do is, well, not all of what you do, but a lot of what you do. And you're on a lot of boards, six to be exact. Why and what's hot and what's not about venture investing today in social media?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, it's abundantly clear that social media is hot. And so the big question is there something hot in social media that's worth investing? And those are very different questions. And so there's been lots of discussion up and down Sand Hill Road, you know, where what I refer to as the VC ghetto, of lots of people trying to figure out, okay, all these companies, lots of excitement. What is that excitement about? And I think the answer is the excitement's about hundreds of millions of users on social networks that are broad, like MySpace, or are specific, like a Dogster or a Flickster, where huge numbers of like-minded people are getting together to engage in a conversation. And that, to my mind, that is what is so exciting about this space. It's why, you know, why marketers and advertisers and venture capitalists and entrepreneurs alike should all take note, because to my mind, the entire web is sort of migrating to two paradigms. There's a search paradigm and there's the social networking paradigm. And, you know, Google is showing that there's incredible money to be made, incredible opportunity in search, because when people are looking for something, guess what? They're looking to do something. And then there's the social networking piece, which is people are interested in engaging with each other in some interesting way within the context of the internet. And these social networking companies, and I use that very broadly, then allow them the context to do that. In some instances, it's around a particular thing. I think that we'll see increasingly specific social networks. You know, recently Maya's Mom launched, which is doing moms, and in particular, not just moms, but moms with young kids. I mean, that's a focus. And having been, you know, the dad of young kids, when you are a mom or dad of young kids, it's all you think about.
Right.
And suddenly, that's your social network. And then guess what? You know, when your kids are in middle school, I suspect there'll be a social network of kids with middle schoolers, because, you know, I'm not so interested in the diapers anymore, thankfully. I'm now interested in, gee, hormones and, you know, and my kids hating me and these things that, you know, didn't seem relevant at the time. So I think that's what's interesting, and that's what we're seeing, and that's what I'm trying to calibrate as I see all these companies being created and lots of energy and lots of users and lots of growth. Which are the meaningful businesses? Which are the meaningful channels for marketers? Which are, you know, what is interesting in the space?
Okay, so taking off on that point, so what's interesting to marketers? So why should marketers care about this? I get this question about, oh, it's a passing fad, which I definitely don't think it is, obviously, and neither do you, but help me help them understand why they should really care and what they should do about it.
Well, I think the reason they should care is that this is the new television. I mean, I just am absolutely convinced this isn't a fad. Now, there will be changes in the landscape. I don't think that it's the case that because MySpace is the winner now that it will always be the winner. That's not going to be the case. In the same way that, you know, ABC used to have a great Friday night lineup that everybody watched, and suddenly everybody watched CBS and ABC was in the dumps. I think we'll see the same sorts of things in the social networking space, in this new media space, where different companies come and go. They're dominant. There's, you know, dominant platforms. They incorporate other things. I mean, I think that that's what we're going to see. But if you look at what's happening with people's mind share, if you look at what kids in particular are spending their time on, they're spending their time on the web. They're not spending their time watching television. And so if you want to get at these people, if you want to get to the 13-year-olds who are going to be the ones making their decisions about what toothpaste they have, what deodorant they wear, what clothing, how they're influenced, all of those things that are, you know, that are important marketing questions, you need to be in these social networks. It's where the kids are. And it's not just where they are in the sense of, okay, well, you know, advertise cigarettes in the playground. I don't mean that. I just mean this is what people care about, right? And so you get brand credibility by associating yourselves with things that are meaningful and reflect well upon your brand. And what these social networks now represent are the things that kids and increasingly adults find meaningful. And by associating your brand or by focusing your brand on those sorts of experiences, then you will have a very high impact. I'll give you one quick example to that effect. I mean, there's a company called Dogster. And Dogster is a social network for your dogs. I mean, literally.
But you're not an investor in this, right?
I'm not an investor in Dogster.
So we'll qualify that.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big fan of Ted, who started it, and the team. I think they've done really smart things. They were very early. They understood that it's not just about a social network that you talk about, you know, where you're out looking for a girlfriend. It's a social network, and maybe, frankly, through your dogs, you're still out looking for a girlfriend, but it's a social network about dog lovers, right? And so you're looking for a dog-loving girlfriend, not just a generic girlfriend. And that's what this stuff is all about. You go and you create your profile of your dog, and then your dog makes dog friends, and friends, you know, so it's my schnauzer, and look, it's your Shih Tzu friend, and, you know, over a million users, I believe it's over a million users. But more importantly, if you are a dog food company or a pet insurance company, or in fact Disney, when they were relaunching Lady and the Tramp, or maybe it was Lady and the Tramp 2 or Lady and the Tramp 7, I don't know, when they went to Dogster and spent a lot of money advertising on Dogster because it was unambiguous what people on Dogster liked. They liked dogs. Now, they may like also Lexus. But they definitely like dogs. So if you're Iams, start at Dogster, right? So that's what I think is exciting about this stuff.
Okay, so you mentioned that if people don't get there, then, well, you didn't quite say it this way, but I've talked to enough people that have sort of said this way, if you don't get social media, then you're really being stupid. So how do you get people over their fear of social media? I mean, you've been a blogger since, you were the first venture blogger. I mean, you've been a blogger for, I don't know, what, 5 years?
A little over 4 years.
Okay, now, so I mean, you're not afraid, but how do you, you know, I deal with a lot of CMOs. How do you get them over their fear and just say, look, do it? I mean, get into it. I mean, which is what I say, but I'd love to hear your advice.
Well, I think there are two different messages, and I think that one message is what's scaring everybody and is wrong-headed. And then one message is how I approach social media. It's how I approached Venture Blog when I started it, and why I now have Venture Cast, the podcast. And, you know, which from the, just as an aside, from the venture capital industry, in 4 years ago was heresy. You don't talk about the venture capital industry, and remains sort of mystifying to many of my brethren in and around the venture capital industry. Are you talking about this stuff? Like, how is that to your benefit? So the one camp of marketing to social media says this is all about authenticity. It's unfiltered. You just let it all flow, and you'll get lots of goodwill from saying whatever you say. I think that's a huge mistake. I think it's a complete misunderstanding. The other version is be authentic and genuine, but understand that this is a marketing channel. And like any other message, you have to understand your market, you have to understand those to whom you're speaking, and then you have to create the message to reflect that. So, you know, my podcast and my blog are intended for entrepreneurs. It's intended for technologists and people. And so I'm talking about things that they care about. I'm not, you know, yes, I periodically inevitably talk about my children in the context of that, or, you know, whatever. But, you know, at least in theory, it's about stuff that they care about in ways that they care about it, explaining things they care about. So I think as a marketer, you just have to focus on these things from that context, right? If you look at a MySpace, it isn't the Wild West. I mean, it is in a certain sense. You haven't seen it before. On the other hand, you know, when we went from broadcast television to cable television, it wasn't as if the History Channel was some new beast. It's just that when you advertise on the History Channel, for something that might relate to that market, then you need to focus your advertising on the thing that those people who are watching the History Channel care about. And the same thing for CNBC or the Disney Channel, right? So I just think that what has happened is we've created these incredible networks where we know a lot about the people who are using them, and we can segment them incredibly accurately and then focus our message to those people. And then the question is, what message is effective? And I do think that a more genuine, a more natural message, or a more fun and entertaining kind of out there message works better in these social networks. But that doesn't mean that you're just sort of going out on a limb. It just means learn from the past. You don't produce the corporate spokesperson on the social network. That doesn't work. You don't lie about what you're doing or pretend you're someone you aren't. That doesn't work either. In the web, they find out, right? This is a bad idea. So find the right spokesperson who makes sense in the context of those new social media, and use that person to get across a message that makes sense in the context of that particular demographic. So
do you think of yourself in that way as August spokesperson? I mean, not really. But really, you're talking for August.
My partners are wincing, like, oh my God, David's our spokesperson. God help us. No, I think I'm very happy to represent August. It's a great firm. It has a wonderful history. And I often talk about it, but I always talk about, my partner Dave was the only private investor. Microsoft still sits on that board. He's a really smart guy. I don't pretend that I did Microsoft. I mean, I've been, haven't been in the firm that long. But do I represent August a lot? Sure. I think that that people know a lot about August and know a lot about the things that are interesting to us broadly by virtue of me having spent a lot of time writing and talking and focusing on getting out the word.
Yeah, no, it's true. Okay, so what about the future of all this stuff? I mean, what do you, as a soothsayer, as a fortune teller, sort of look ahead and say, okay, what's going to happen?
What is going to happen? Well, I've been saying for quite some time, actually, that social networks, this idea of social networks where you show up in an experience and say, these people are my friends, or these people are my family, or these are people I care about, where you put yourself in a social context. So in MySpace, MySpace is actually very interesting because not only do you put yourself in the social context, these are my explicit friends, Jack, Jane, Sue, whoever, physical people, but what was interesting about MySpace and how it merged was then you also created your friends, your quote-unquote friends, that were Sony and Nokia and Bill Clinton and, you name the experience, musicians and foods, and those became your friends. And they're really, and what's meant that by that more than anything is this is part of my identity. If you want to fully understand me, then, here are the people with whom I associate. Here are the brands with which I resonate. Here are the politicians for whom I would vote. Here are the, hairsprays that I would, care to enjoy, name it. So I believe that sort of infrastructure, this idea that you contextualize yourself in the when you get to a web experience will permeate everything. Maybe I don't want to be absolute, but I think the vast majority of experiences you will come to and they will be better suited by having the context of your friends or your interests or your likes. And so social networking, broadly speaking, will be the underpinnings of everything. And maybe it's for picking movies. And now you have Flixster, which is this young person network of people talking about movies. But frankly, Netflix is trying to figure out this as well. Who recommends what movies? Who are your friends and what are they like so you can watch them? So name the area. There are social networks now emerging around investing. There are social networks, and obviously the whole dating space has only been a social network. It just hasn't been described that way. So I think social networks are the underpinnings of of all future experiences, non-search experiences, and even search is becoming a social, there's social search. So I think that's the thing to look for as it emerges. And then from a brand perspective or from a broad marketing perspective, then how does that impact you know, your ability to spread the good word. And is it, does that mean you have to find the influencers, or does that mean you have to find the influential networks?
Right.
Or do you, or does it mean that you have to create something so creative and fun that people embrace it and spread it themselves?
Awesome. Okay, final question, because I know you're a busy guy. Second Life, what's your opinion about that? Do you have an avatar in Second Life? Does August have a representation in Second Life? What do you think about Second Life?
We're not investors. I have to admit, I do not have an avatar. It will be very interesting to see what happens in Second Life. I am still waiting to determine whether this is a mainstream experience. I mean, from an investor standpoint and from a marketer standpoint, the big question is one of either massive breadth, where you can get to hundreds of millions of people, and therefore the market is so large that getting a small fraction of it will be valuable, or you're reaching a vertical that is so valuable that you can get to a bigger chunk of it and extract more value from it, and therefore it's worth chasing that vertical. I think it's an open question about Second Life. Is it a mass phenomenon? It isn't yet. So there are indicators that maybe it will be, and maybe you and I will have avatars, and maybe you do have an avatar.
No, not yet.
Right?
I'm looking at it, though.
Right. When my mom has an avatar, then, you know, then we'll say, okay, look, I'm going to go, we'll go kvetch with my mom, and, you know, Second Life, fine, you know, she'll track me down. But it hasn't gotten there yet, right? So is it that it's incredibly valuable vertical because the people who do it are fanatical about it, and therefore, by marketing to those people in that environment, you will connect that much better with them that it's worth it? Or will it cross the chasm, become this mass experience, and then we will have brands that need to be represented? And I say brands loosely, but any marketer, you know. If you look at Larry Lessig, who's a law professor, who's studies and focuses on digital media. He's very interested in Second Life, and he has lectures in Second Life, and he experienced. Recently, they had the Creative Commons party, and he was in Germany, but he participated in Second Life. So he missed the first life, but he was there in Second Life. If there are more Larry Lessigs out there, then you know it could be an incredible emergent phenomena. I will not opine. I'm big fans of the guys who are building it, and that would be great for them if it happened. And in many ways, be great for all of us, because it'd give us another channel, another interesting way to interact, both as people and as products and brands and marketers.
Very good. Okay, so this has been David Hornick of August Capital Partner, and I want to make sure he gives you his blog and his video blog addresses, so go for it.
All right. Well, the blog is VentureBlog, ventureblog.com. I have to admit, it's still only audio.
I'm sorry.
I have an ongoing debate. My podcast is called VentureCast, and if you go to iTunes, you can search for VentureCast and find us. Or if you go go to gruntmedia.com, you can find it as well. Craig Severson, who's my co-host on VentureCast, is at Grunt Media. Let me know if you like. Give me feedback.
Yeah.
This media is about feedback.
Yeah,
so if
totally.
Folks who are listening have things they want me to talk about or they want me to write about, let me know.
Yeah, no, it's great, because the only way that I've really been able to get feedback is through a survey that I've done, sort of the old technology survey, and it's really hard. I'm always asking for feedback, too. So, again, thank you, David Hornick, August Capital, and this has been Jennifer Jones. And so until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.